Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Rayleigh Elim on Good Friday. Good Friday, it's a special day. It's in some ways a quiet day, a serious day. It's a holy day. It's the day that we remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross for us. Now, when we think about a cross, we don't usually think of something beautiful. We think of pain, we think of suffering, we think of death. And yet for the Christian, the cross is also a place of love. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of forgiveness. It's the place where Jesus gave his life so that we could live. Today, we meet to celebrate, to remember what it was that Jesus did for us. Let's just pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that we are met here today. We thank you that you have given us another opportunity to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. And Lord, I ask both young and old alike here today would just draw closer to you and gain a deeper understanding of what it meant for Christ to suffer in our place. We ask, Lord, that you'll be in our midst today. We pray that our worship and everything that we do will bring glory and honour to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we journey towards Resurrection Sunday, today we stop and we stand at the cross. We're going to listen carefully to some of the last words that Jesus spoke, because his final words were not empty words. They were powerful words, words of love, words of truth, and words of hope. And this morning, I just want to share three simple things that Jesus said on the cross that help us all, whether we are children, young people, adults, or older. All of these things lead us to the great truth that Jesus gave everything so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be brought near to God, so that we could be given new life when we trust in him as our Lord and Saviour. So the first point is Jesus says, Father, forgive them. In Luke 23, it says, when they came to a place called Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let's think about this for a moment. Jesus had been mocked, he'd been beaten, he'd been rejected, and he'd been nailed to the cross. And what does he say? He doesn't say, pay them back. He doesn't say, I hate them. He doesn't say, they don't deserve mercy. He says, Father, forgive them. What a wonderful Saviour. This shows us that Jesus' heart is full of mercy. Even as he suffers, he's offering forgiveness. That means that Good Friday is about more than just sadness. Good Friday is all about salvation. Now, I'm assuming that everyone in this room knows what it's like to do something wrong. Children know it. Teenagers know it, adults know it. We all say things at times that perhaps we shouldn't say. We all think things that we shouldn't think. We all do things that we shouldn't do. And the Bible calls that sin. And sin is what separates us from God. But here's the good news. Jesus came to forgive sinners. That's why he came. That means that there's no one who is too bad to come to Jesus. There is no one who is too broken to not be received by him. There's no one who's beyond the reach of Jesus' love, mercy, and grace. Do I ask the kids this question or do I ask the adults this question? I'll ask both and see who answers first. Have you ever drawn on a wall with a marker pen or paint?
Yes.
Did you pretend it wasn't you that did it?
Yes.
No.
No? Okay. Now, assuming that you've drawn on a wall or painted something on a wall that shouldn't be there, someone had to deal with the mark that was left behind, with the mess that was left behind. Someone had to clean it. Someone had to put it right. I'm assuming, or maybe it's still like that in your home. Is it okay? Have you still got paint, pens all over your walls?
No. I was a child.
Oh, you were a child. Right. I thought you'd go and write, Paul loves Kay, every surface.
We had it on our step one.
This is not a confessional. We'll move swiftly on. You know, sin is like that. Sin is something that causes a mark on our lives. It causes us to be less than perfect. Now, God's standard is perfection, and we could never reach perfection. I'm sorry to say there is no one in this room, not even my wife, who is perfect. Though I'm sure some of you think you're perfect, don't you? But Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He was spotless. And that's why he had to be sacrificed in our place. At the cross, Jesus dealt with our sin. He paid the price. He took the burden on himself so that we could be forgiven. I can see you're really impressed by that this morning. Look at the joy on these faces. Colossians 3:13 says this: make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It's easy to read that, isn't it? But it's hard to do it. If Jesus forgives us, then we are called to forgive others. Friends, if you drove here this morning and someone was parked in the place where you would normally park in the car park, you need to forgive them. It's awful. I know. In churches, there's two things that are important: the parking space and the seat that Jesus gave you.
Amen. Amen. Definitely.
I'm sure if we all turn the seats over right now, we might find names on the bottom of them. Don't do it. It will make a mess. And John Luca worked so hard to put the chairs out this morning. Don't upset him. But I'm sure if you did upset him, he would forgive you. You're a gracious man, aren't you?
He tries to be.
But isn't that the problem? We try to be good. We try to be gracious. We try to be nice. But in our own strength, we can't do it. All of us have failed.
Amen.
But there's one who didn't. And the beauty of Good Friday is that the one who didn't fail meets us exactly where we are. He loves us, and he loves us so much that he refused to leave us in our sin. Second point, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Luke chapter 23, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is another amazing moment, another amazing thing that Jesus said on the cross. There's this man who has made a mess of his life. He is guilty. He's dying. He can't put things right. He can't go back and start again. He can't earn his way into heaven. But he turns to Jesus and Jesus receives him. That's wonderful news for every one of us. We're not saved by being good enough. We're not saved by trying harder. We're not saved by pretending that we've got it all together. We're saved by coming to Jesus in faith. The thief, in effect, says, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, save me." And Jesus gives him a promise of life, a promise of hope, a promise of paradise. There are some people who think that Christianity is mainly about trying to be nice. That doesn't work. The gospel is much more than that. Yes, if we love Jesus, yes, if we know him as our Lord and Saviour, we should try to be nice to one another. But the core of being a Christian is not being nice. The core of being a Christian is trusting Jesus as Lord and Saviour. The gospel tells us that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. And anyone who trusts in him can be saved. A child can trust in Jesus. A teenager can trust Jesus. An adult can trust Jesus. Older people can trust Jesus. Whoever comes to Jesus in true faith will be saved. That's a beautiful truth. Have you ever been lost and unable to find your way home? You don't need someone to tell you if you're lost, try harder to find the way home. You need someone to come and take you by the hand and point you in the right direction and lead you home. In the modern world, we have sat-navs. I appear to have a schizophrenic sat-nav. Whatever direction it gives me doesn't always make sense. Outside my house, where I'm parked on my driveway, it tells me to do a U-turn. There's no space to do a U-turn. Yeah, you're right, I'll drive into the house. The other night, coming back from church, all of a sudden, the sat-nav started trying to tell me how to get to Paul's house. I wasn't going to Paul's house. And as I pulled around the corner and headed round the back of Rectory Road, my sat-nav started announcing directions to Natalie's house.
Lovely.
I wasn't going there either.
We both needed you.
Well, maybe you needed pastoral care. Maybe God took over the sat-nav. But often in our lives, there are things of the world that try to distract us and take us to places where we didn't intend to go.
Yes.
Sometimes the prompting of the Spirit is important and we should listen. But other times, it's not the Spirit that's prompting us.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to discern when we hear things, when we have visions of things, when we think God is prophetically speaking to us, but actually it was that Wensleydale that aired last night.
Amen.
Jesus takes us by the hand. He reaches down from the glory of heaven. He lowers himself to take on human form and dies in our place. He doesn't just give us advice. He does exactly what we need. He dies in our place so that he can save us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation, it's a gift. It's undeserved. It is a gift of grace that we are given from God. He brings us near by coming near to us. Through Jesus, we are welcomed, not pushed away. We're embraced, we're loved, we're comforted, we are healed. But most importantly, we're saved. Friends, the cross is where hopeless people find an open door to the heart of God. Third point, Jesus says it is finished. John 19:30, when Jesus had tasted it, that's the wine vinegar, he said it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. These words are actually full of victory. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. What was finished? The work the Father sent him to do. The price for sin was paid. The sacrifice was complete. The way to God was opened for all who would believe and trust in Jesus. Good Friday looked like defeat, but Jesus didn't lose. He won. He did what we could not do ourselves. Now, maybe to the people of the world, the cross looks like defeat. Sadly, in the modern world, the cross looks like a piece of jewellery. An ornament. As someone said to me once, I wear a cross because it's good luck. Oh yeah, being nailed to a cross until you're dead, that really is good luck, isn't it? In truth, the greatest victory the world has ever seen happened on the cross, when Jesus defeated death. Jesus defeated sin, he broke the power of death, he made a way for us to be forgiven and gave us a way back to God. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. We weren't bought with money. We were bought by the precious blood of Jesus. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. Sometimes we try everything to fix ourselves. We try harder. We perhaps try and cover things up. We can pretend, but we are guilty. We are guilty because that's how we're born. But when we come to know Jesus, we're forgiven. We're set free. Because Jesus has already done what we can't do ourselves. None of us can save ourselves. We have to trust the one who finished the work. Imagine having a huge debt that you could never repay. And then someone comes and pays it completely and stamps across the debt paid in full. That's what Jesus does for us. That's why Good Friday is good, because Jesus finished the work needed to save us. Let's bring this all together. What do these three messages tell us? Jesus forgives sinners. Jesus saves those who trust him. And Jesus finished the work of salvation. Friends, that's the message of Good Friday. That's the message of the cross. That message points us to Resurrection Sunday. Because Good Friday is not the end. Jesus died, yes. Jesus was buried, yes. But on the third day he rose. And the road to resurrection goes through the cross.
Yeah.
You can't understand Easter morning until you first stand at Calvary. You can't rejoice in the fully empty tomb unless you first see the Saviour who died for your sins. Let me give you a simple gospel invitation this morning. Let me speak plainly and lovingly to every heart here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And now he calls us to trust in him, to believe in him, to repent and turn to him. To repent means simply to turn from our sin. To believe means to trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Not trust in our own goodness, not trust in religion, not trust in church, not trust in our efforts, but to trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you've never trusted Jesus before, why not do it today? Why not on Good Friday? Why not accept him into your heart? The one who prayed for you, Father, forgive them. The one who said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, maybe we don't want to be called into paradise today. Maybe there's a couple of things we'd like to do first. But to know that we will spend eternity in paradise with Jesus. That is an incredible thing. To trust the one who has said it is finished. Tetelestai. Everything that needed to be done has been done for your salvation. So why not trust in him today? Turn to Jesus. We don't know how many days, weeks, months, years there are until he returns. But he has promised that he will return. At that point, when he returns, it will be too late. That's why we must choose now, today, to follow him, to trust him, to love him, to know him, to tell others about him. On this Good Friday, my friends, be thankful for what Christ did and look forward to Easter Sunday, knowing that he is the one who has conquered the power of death and the power of sin.
Amen.
And that we can live eternally when we trust in him.
Amen.
We'll take communion to remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us. As we come to communion, we come quietly, we come thankfully. Communion, it's not just the church tradition, it's a sacred remembrance. It's a gift from the Lord Jesus to his people so that we might remember what he has done for us. His body was broken, his blood was shed, and because of that, we can be forgiven. When we take the bread this morning, remember, it's his body that was given for us. When we drink from the cup, remember, it symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. The communion table reminds us that salvation cost something. It cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are worth the life that he sacrificed. You are worth the price that he paid. And all you need to do, all you must do, is accept him as your Lord and your Saviour. There are three things that communion tells us. The first is his love. And we need to remember his love for us today. The cross says, this is how much I love you. Not with shallow words, not with empty promises, but with sacrificial love. The second thing is we are to remember the forgiveness that he has given to us. Whatever sin has stained your heart, we can bring it to Jesus. We can confess it before him. We can lay it down, and the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse our sin, to wash it away. The third thing is remember his victory. Yes, communion is solemn, but it's not hopeless. We remember his death until he comes again. He's risen, he's alive, he's coming back. Let's just take a moment to bow our heads before we eat and drink, to reflect. Whether you're young or old, just bow your heart before the Lord today. In your heart, in your mind, thank him for what he has done. Confess any sin that you have to him and receive his mercy afresh and anew. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Thank you that in you we have the assurance that you have paid the price for us. It's not about what we've done, but it's all about what you have done and continue to do in our lives every day. On this Good Friday, we praise you, we thank you that you are our rescuer, that you are our redeemer, that you are our strength, our shield, our help. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, and if there's anything not right in our hearts or minds right now, help us to put it right. May we walk worthy of your sacrifice. May we walk worthy of the name Christian. And throughout this Easter period, Lord, and indeed for the rest of our lives, may we proclaim the truth that you are Lord, that you are Saviour, that you are King. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. We will eat the bread as we receive it, but retain the cup to drink together. The bread, the symbol of his body, broken for you. What you hold in your hand is just bread and it's just juice. There's nothing special about these items, but they remind us. They remind us of his body. They remind us of his blood. His body broken for us. His blood shed for us. When we know him, when we trust him, we are forgiven. We're told to do this in remembrance of him, and that is what we do. Until he comes again, we proclaim his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We proclaim that he is the one who has conquered sin and conquered death. Before we drink the cup, can I ask that someone would pray to give thanks for the blood that washes away our sin?
Oh God, we thank you for all that you achieve for us, the love that you give us, and everything you provide for us each and every day. When we're not well, you're there. When we're happy, you're there. When we're sad, you're there. Jesus, you are our everything. So thank you for dying on the cross for each one of us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in his blood. Let's drink to remember him." Thank you, Lord, you paid the price that we couldn't pay. Thank you that you have purchased salvation for all who will believe. And that sacrifice you made nearly 2,000 years ago is still effective at washing away our sin, and that all who trust in you can be saved. Bless us, Lord. Pray for those who are unwell right now. Just as at the cross you purchased our salvation, you also paid the price for our healing. So Lord, will you touch the lives of those that need your touch right now. Strengthen those, Lord, who are weary. Heal those, Lord, who are unwell. And help us day by day to fix our eyes on you, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We bless you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives and everything you will continue to do till you call us home. Amen.
Amen.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. That is the truth for all who believe and trust in Jesus. Satan is conquered. He is the defeated enemy. We can stand firm in Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great plan of salvation that caused you to send your son to die in our place. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to go all the way to the cross. that out of love, you died in our place.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell within us.
Yeah.
You work in us and through us. Triune God, we worship you in majesty. We worship you in truth. We praise you for the plan of salvation. And we thank you for that moment when we said, I believe that Jesus is Lord. May that be true of everyone in this room, Lord. In their hearts, in their minds, may they know you, confess you, be in relationship with you. Lord, I ask your blessing would rest upon us, that special blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.